Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 Chad.
All right, Vikings with an early touchdown. They go up 7-0 on the Patriots. The game is 4 minutes and 20 seconds old. Triple header for American Thanksgiving today. The Cowboys beat the Giants 28-20, and Buffalo knocked off Detroit 28-25. No hockey games tonight. The NHL taking the night off. Oilers did not practice today. They will skate tomorrow. They play the Rangers on Saturday. Matinee, 9:30 for the faceoff show here on 6:30 Ched. And the puck will drop at 11. Cam Moon and Bob Stauffer will have the call. Don't forget, we got a partnership here between 6:30 Ched and Air Canada for the Air Canada fan flight. We'll be sending a listener and three friends to Las Vegas to cheer on the Oilers. You get a round-trip airfare with Air Canada, two nights accommodation, and four tickets to the Oilers game in Vegas on January 14th. So what you do is you go to the contest page on 630ched.com and tell us how you would cheer on the Oilers in Vegas. That's right. Tell us how you would cheer on the Oilers in Vegas. Kellen Kennedy's suggestion from the other night, a giant foam finger. Now, you can suggest something perhaps a little crazier than that. You're in Vegas. You can go nuts. But Kellen is sticking with... Are you sticking with the foam finger?
I need a bigger finger.
A body-sized finger. A full body-sized foam finger. You could just wrap your entire body in a big foam finger.
That'd be actually an awesome Halloween might,
you would just look
too.
Like you would just look like the number one, I guess.
Yeah.
Or what if you put... So it's four people... Right? So what if you got a giant foam thing and everybody was inside it? One person's the finger sticking up like the number one, and then yeah. The other three people are the fingers that are folded back.
Interesting.
You could have a team costume.
It'd be difficult to move in that, because have you ever tried to see a group of four people trying to move as one ever?
I have never seen a group of four people trying to move as one inside a foam costume finger. I have not seen that.
No, I'm just saying in
general.
So
it might work. I just love how you brought that up. Well, have you ever seen that? It's like, no, I've never seen four people in a foam costume. Well, at least not a foam finger costume. Anyway. Special effects.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. All right, so go to the contest page on 630ched.com and tell us how you would cheer on the Oilers in Vegas. It is called the Air Canada Fan Flight. Again, the game is January 14th in Vegas. We got a cool giveaway tomorrow that is related to the Canadian World Cup soccer team here on Inside Sports, but we'll worry about that tomorrow night. Just give you a little teaser for that one. Okay, 780-496-0063. Is anybody participating, Kellen?
Oh, yes, in the off-topic.
Oh, you sound excited. That's good. I like your enthusiasm. Okay, so the off-topic topic is if you were John Herdman, or if you were the coach of the Canadian men's national soccer team or some sort of Canadian team, and you had to bring in a famous Canadian to give a motivational speech. Mm-hmm. Who would you bring in? But you can't just pick another person from the world of sports.
Right. Well.
So Chris Hadfield, mm-hmm. Herdman gets Hadfield to come in. Astronaut, unbelievable. Like, just that's incredible. I don't know if anybody's going to top that. So it has to be Canadian, and it can't just be a sports person. All right. Well, I'm really curious to see what people – because, like I said, I wandered around the office earlier today.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A couple of quick ones here as we got our guest waiting on the line.
Oh, good. Okay, so, sure. Let's do these quick.
So we'll do these quickly.
Just give me two.
We have a ton of pro and con of comments about Justin Trudeau being the guest speaker prior to, so we'll put him on the list as well. And Pamela Anderson from one unknown texter.
Geez, okay.
And he or she adds, she could motivate me. So there we go.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that gentleman is motivated by something. Okay. This is good. We got Bob Leonarduzzi on the line, one of Canada's all-time greats when it comes to the sport of soccer, and of course a very passionate and interested observer when it comes to the Canadian World Cup team. Bob, how are you doing?
Wonderful, thank you. You guys?
I'm doing great. It's nice to have you on the show again. Pre-game speeches, I'll start there. Is there one that stands out from your career as a player, or did you ever deliver a memorable one as a coach that you were like, I nailed it, I got them fired up?
All of them were.
They were all great.
No, actually, you know what? It's and you never ever have thought of this before, but it was my first game as the coach, and it wasn't in qualifiers. We were playing against Scotland in Toronto, and I actually feel, and I had one of the players come up to me afterwards and say, and I won't say who it is, but come up to me and say, you know what? That was fantastic. I just can't wait to get out there and play. So that's a pretty good barometer when one of the players actually said that to you. Maybe the others weren't feeling the same way, but who knows? But I actually felt that it was, and what it was, you know, what I was feeling about becoming the national team coach. We're going out and playing against Scotland, and you know, it's we're playing for our country. Blah blah blah, all those things, and I felt it was pretty good.
Well, it must have been pretty good if you had a player come up to you and say something. And I got to say, that is quite the coup that Herdman got Hadfield yesterday. Talk about out of this world, eh?
I listened. It was on Zoom, but it was actually for the Alzheimer's Society, and he was the guest speaker, and he was absolutely outstanding. I couldn't agree with you more.
Okay, and then they went out there and they played, Bob. And my goodness, they played pretty well. I mean, what? We didn't score. We didn't get a point out of it. But what allowed Canada to control the ball and control the territory so much in that game yesterday?
I think that they respected Belgium, but they didn't respect them that much. I think they realized that they could either go out and sit back, soak up pressure, and try to catch the number two ranked country in the world on the counter. And I was sitting there watching it. I'm thinking to myself after the first 5 minutes, because right from the opening whistle, we penned them in. We created chances. We created turnovers. And after 5 minutes, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is gonna, at some point the Belgians are gonna settle down. And they really didn't settle down until the half, and then they managed to get the one goal at probably the most crucial time, just before the half, where you could go in and you could say, "Hey, keep doing what we're doing. There's goals coming." And I think it certainly did not reflect how the match had gone that far, because we were absolutely dominant. The Belgians switched it up a little bit at the half, and we weren't getting through the middle of the park width-wise as much as we were in the first half, and it was more not necessarily resorting, but we were in positions where we were crossing more balls into the box, and I don't think we had the same amount of chances in the second half as we did in the first half. But nevertheless, it was a solid 90 minutes, except for a breakdown on the goal, and you'd have to look at that one and say somebody messed up, because it's a straight ball out of the back that allows one of their attackers to get in behind the three defenders that are back there, which wasn't great defending, but it happened, and that's unfortunate.
All right, the penalty kick. You know, even the guys that were calling the game said, you know, should somebody else have taken it? You know, I think Herdman said, you know, Davies grabbed the ball, wanted to take it. from your experience, like how, like aren't kick takers decided before the game? Can players make that call in the heat of the moment? Tell me about that decision.
Yeah, and when I was coaching, I would ask for a show of hands as to who would want to take the penalty if we get one. And more often than not, there weren't many that went up. And I would ultimately select two or three that I felt were confident enough and could step up and stroke it home, or were goal scorers. And so I'm not, and I don't know the detail of John's decision, whether it was just left up to any of the 11 out on the pitch or whether he had narrowed that number down. But I was disappointed with the camera angle on that, because I was watching, but I couldn't see, if in fact Davies went over, picked up the ball and said, "It's me, I'm taking it." And if that's the case, you've got to applaud the guy's conviction and confidence. And unfortunately, and he's up against a very good goalkeeper who guessed right and made the save. And had we scored that, I actually was thinking to myself, we're going to go on and get another two or three here, because they're down and out, and we just have to finish them off now. And it changed the tone of the whole game.
Well, it did. Okay, I'll put you on the spot here, though. Who would have you picked to take the penalty kick?
Jonathan David.
Okay. That's the one. I think somebody might have said Hoylett, maybe. I can't remember. But
Hoylett is another one, yeah. But I think, if you're going, when I said earlier, you're picking a player that is the most confident and not necessarily needing to be a goal scorer. But goal scorers score goals. That's what they do. And I believe that he takes the penalties for Lille, his club side in France, and has converted 9 of 11, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, okay. Bob Leonarduzzi joining us on Inside Sports, talking about Canada at the World Cup. Can you... Because you went in 86, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I was... How old was I? I think I was 12, so I was thrilled, and I watched as many of the matches as I could that weren't on while I was at school. But I think there was the sense that Canada, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, you were on the team, but I think there was the sense Canada was a pretty pronounced underdog. I don't sense that we should feel that way, though, this year, even though we might be lower ranked than some of the teams. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we might be an underdog, but I don't know if it's to the same degree as in 86. Is that fair, or how do you look at it?
No, I think we are considered underdogs, but not to the extent that we were considered underdogs in 86. And if you just look at, and I thought Martinez, the Belgian coach, was very gracious before and after the game. And his comment was, they beat the Americans and they beat the Mexicans and finished top of the group in qualifying. So, and we know what those teams can do, so they are a good side, and I don't think that they stepped out onto the field and got caught by surprise because they took us lightly. Let's give John Herdman and let's give the guys on the pitch credit. They just made it difficult for Belgium, and they looked like they were reeling throughout that first half. And that's the other thing I should say is we missed, Alfonso misses the penalty, and then I thought to myself, okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to the team? Because it was a great opportunity. Well, nothing changed. We just kept going, coming wave after wave. So that was encouraging, because in adversity, sometimes, you tend to lose your confidence, but that certainly wasn't the case throughout the first half, and for the most part, throughout the match as well.
All right, so a huge match coming up against Croatia. I guess the easy way that I look at it is now Belgium can go on and beat Morocco and beat Croatia, fine. That makes it, we don't want them to get any points because they each have one and we have zero. Mm-hmm. A couple keys here against Croatia. Like, I feel like everybody's excited after how Canada played yesterday, rightfully so. I know one buddy said to me, well, obviously we're going to beat Croatia now. And I was like, well, hold on a minute here. We still haven't scored a goal at the World Cup. But give me a bit of a scouting report for the game against Croatia.
Well, as opposed to giving you a scouting report, I'll give you firsthand experience.
And sure.
Yes, we went into the World Cup in 86 as an underdog. We had a very similar match. France at that time were the reigning European champions and were one of the favorites to win the World Cup in 86. And so it was a similar task that we had. We didn't compete as well as the Canadians did against Belgium. We were reliant for the most part on our defensive capabilities and making sure that we shut the French down. So we ended up getting to 9 minutes to go and we're 0-0 against the reigning European champions. And then we conceded a goal. We ended up losing 1-0. Well, then we watch Russia play Hungary, the other two teams in the group. Russia wins 6-0 against Hungary. We then are playing Hungary and we're feeling, I can tell you, we played on fear in the first game against France because we were fearful that we'd just get blown out of the water. Well, when we watched this other game and we see Hungary get hammered 6-0, all of a sudden I think our attitude changed and we felt, okay, yeah, we can play against these guys and let's just go out and do that. And we didn't necessarily respect them because they just got hammered 6-0. Big mistake. We lost 2-0. So I think the same principles apply, and not necessarily the way we played or the way this version of the Canadian team played, but what applies is do it again. Like whatever we did against Belgium, do not lower the bar at all. Forget that result, forget the performance, but apply all the same principles that you applied against Belgium, and you're going to give yourself the best chance of success. So yeah, don't feel like, well, you know, we were so good against Belgium, the goals didn't come, but they'll come against Croatia. You need to generate the same kind of opportunities against Croatia, and ideally, you will convert a couple of those chances that you couldn't against Belgium.
Bob, one more before I let you go, because I love your perspective and you know so much about the game. Everybody's played one match now at the World Cup. What's the big story for you, whether it's a player, a team, a surprise, a blowout, or whatever?
Well, I'm very pleasantly surprised with the England team. I thought they were outstanding. And Iran is not a pushover. And to score 6 goals against them means that you're doing something right. So I think for me, and you know, most World Cups, England are going to get through the first stage. They're going to get through the group stage and have every chance of getting to the deeper stages in the World Cup. But this group looked like a group that are all on the same page. They're young. They've got pace. So I'm very excited about watching them play. And then the others are the Brazilians. I just thought they were outstanding today. It's never easy when you're playing against teams that just sit back in numbers. But they were patient, and they got rewarded for that in the second half. And a lot of people are picking them as the favorites to win the World Cup. And I think based on the performance today that there's a good chance of that happening.
Bob, love talking to you. I'm going to bug you again later in the tournament because I love your perspective, and you've been there on the international stage and have great perspective. So thank you so much for doing this. Hope you're doing well, man. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you. Pleasure. Look forward to it.
That's Bob Leonarduzzi checking in, former coach of the Canadian men's national team, played for Canada at that 1986 World Cup in Mexico, and now obviously a very knowledgeable observer with this year's tournament. That 1986 tournament, different format. There were 24 teams instead of 32, so you had the three best fourth-place teams making the elimination round. Argentina won the tournament 3-2 over West Germany in the final. Okay, 780-496-0063. We'll get to more of your off-topic replies. Jack Michaels is ahead as well.
You're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on Edmonton Sports Leader, 630 Chad.
All right, good to have you tuning in tonight. 2 minutes left in the first quarter, 7-7 Patriots and Vikings.
Sweeten your business purchases with American Express Blue Business Cash, the card that makes everyday expenses extra rewarding. You'll earn 2% cash back on your first $50,000 in purchases per year, and then 1% after that. so you can treat your bottom line and give your business a helpful boost. Swipe after swipe. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/bluebusinesscash. Amex Blue Business Cash. Built for business by American Express.
Our off-topic topic is, which famous Canadian who is not a sports personality or athlete would you invite in to give a motivational speech to the Canadian national team? John Herdman probably won this already by bringing in Chris Hadfield. Interesting, we had somebody suggest Pamela Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have, Kellen?
Well, we got a new clubhouse leader. That's what we got right now.
Oh, really?
Multiple texts coming in. They are literally a dozen more right now at this point for Michael J. Fox.
Oh, and that'd be cool. That would actually be cool. I thought him this afternoon. I wondered if we'd get any Michael J. Fox. I agree. And if we could do... I guess I didn't specify living or dead. I think everybody's assuming living. I think Terry Fox would apply because even though what he did was a feat of athleticism, he wasn't famous because he was in the NHL or a sports commentator. He was someone who was battling cancer and doing something extremely brave. So I would think he would qualify if we could say somebody living or dead. But we'll stick to living people. That's a good suggestion, Michael J. Fox. We'll get to more of those, and I'll tell you about what some of my colleagues said today as well. Jack Michaels, how would he change Thanksgiving?